Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 262, episode 4 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, November 10th, 2022. First day that we're getting with post-election results.
Yeah.
You know, we're diving into America's shared consciousness and trying to, you know, just stay dry despite this big, big-ass red wave that keeps...
Man.
Flashing all over us.
Get your umbrellas out.
Yeah.
Because that's when I brainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's also National Vanilla Cupcake Day. National Forget Me Not Day. What's, like, isn't that the song that the Men in Black theme song was? Anyway, it's not that.
It was a flower or something.
No. Oh, no. This is about some, like, this is about, like, some people dying and shit. Never mind. Okay,
so dark.
Okay, honoring like people who hurt war. Also, National Civic Pride Day. So if you got that old Honda Civic, have some pride, man.
That's
a fucking dope car.
Amazing. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka It's a Nice Day for Fetterman.
Ooh.
Well, it's a nice day for a red wedding. It's a bad day for Republicans. That's courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man. A little Billy Idol to get things kicked off right. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
All around the world, countries laugh when they see just how batshit fucked this place is. Everywhere I go, Zeit Gang stop and they see Miles Gray is years old. Jack will be blessed his soul. I just want soft fries. Soft fries. Low temp oil fryer, baby. Low temp oil fryer, baby. Shout out to Lockeroni with that Fly by Sugar Ray. Think that video was shot in the valley. Some girl I went to, like, she swore it was her godmother's house. I think I've just talked about this before, but she really, we're all like, yo. Megan's grandmother. That's that pool. There, they shot that video. That's at her crib.
Miles, it's a wonder you ever talk about anything else with that sort of access to the Fly video.
I know. And that's why people said, when are you running for office? When you have these kinds of anecdotes that connect to the people's lived experience.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant, talented writer and podcaster who's written for publications like The New York Times, The New Yorker, New York Review of Books, GQ.
Heard of that.
Where she wrote that Machine Gun Kelly Megan Fox feature that broke the internet. She was the co-host of the legendary podcasts Girls in Hoodies and Night Call, and the creator of the legendary podcast Heidi World, the Heidi Fleiss story, which you should go listen to now. Please welcome back to the show, Molly Lambert!
Wow, the songs are so good. I have to do a song too. This is an Adele song. I'm Adele now.
Okay.
I'll set fire to the grove and we're going to kill Rick Caruso.
There you go. But and that was Adele speaking. So if anybody that thinks that that was a real threat, go after Adele.
Go tell Adele. Adele's the one who said she was going to set fire to the grove, not me.
I mean, that's the thing with these Tottenham fans. You don't know where they're coming from. You know, that's why, you know,
they will burn it down.
Yeah.
If the footy goes left.
I mean, hell, if the footy goes right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Harry Kane, mate, massive. Yeah.
Harry Kane, massive, mate. All right. Well, how's everybody feeling? I mean, I guess we'll get into it a little bit.
Sure. Nothing was going to, I mean, yeah, fine. Yeah. Sure. Fine. I mean, I know everybody, like, everyone was saying big red wave, but, like, people who are, like, looking at shit were like, I don't know. People seem pretty, like, fucking freaked out / pissed off about, like, you know, existential threats from rights that might motivate them. But
I think every time the polls say something's going to happen, you should just assume the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that's the move now.
That's where I've been at for a few years. It's like, oh, they say this is going to happen. I'm going to say whatever the opposite thing is going to happen.
It seems Republicans are like they are having their 2016 moment, which is really
they were like,
weird.
But the polls.
But I'm like, y'all were cooking the fucking numbers to create a fucking narrative. Like
somebody also pointed out that it's like they are taking these polls by calling people on the phone.
Yeah. We talked about that yesterday. That like Nate Cohn, the number one New York Times poll dude, was like, yeah, the one thing to be noted is that it took me 2 hours to get a single poll response.
I mean, I think I've said this before, maybe even on this show, but like if you did the polls in 2016, that shouldn't be your job anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're the guy who said, trust the math, trust these stats, listen to me in 2016, you're fired. Bro.
Don't be a bedwetter.
Donald Trump says you're fucking fired.
That's why it was that's why it was wild. That guy, Robert Cahaly from Trafalgar, who was like the one dude in 2016, was like, I'm telling you, bro, Trump's got this.
There and were a bunch of people who were like, bro, listen to the underground. It's saying we're fucked.
But like, yeah, like that one guy at Trafalgar, like he's been on like on a meteoric rise. And then this time they're like, well, it sounds like he's just telling the Republicans what they want to hear at this point. And they're like, this guy burned us.
Oh, he was like big red wave.
Get
your swimsuits on and your sex wax ready because we're about to be riding a big wave.
Oh, look at you. Endless summer over here. Okay. Surfer Jack.
All right, Molly, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to check in with, you know, something that I always like to do in moments like these, which is just like go watch Fox News, see how they're dealing with the new reality. It's always a surreal experience to watch them as they wait to see what their talking points are going to be in any given moment. But this was kind of a real-time moment. They were trying to make sense of it all. So we'll get some Fox News sound clips. We'll try to make sense of the results and take some messages away from how people voted. Then we'll get down to the important stuff, like a new VR headset that can kill you is not actually.
Fuck.
It's a fake story.
Oh, shit.
I think people just want that. People are like, I want a video game that is incredibly... absorbs me into its reality, and then I also don't want to be here anymore. I just don't want to be around anymore. And this addresses both of those. So the mainstream media ran with it, but I think they might have gotten a little bit ahead of themselves. I don't think it's actually true.
Well, I'm sure all the people who are like, what? This guy who ate 40 like rotisserie chickens in a row? They're like, yeah, man, this is news. We gotta figure this out.
We might even get to the Santa Claus expanded universe, all of that, plenty more. But first, Molly, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Wow. Yesterday, I searched something very important. We've been having a big, or not a red wave, but just a regular rainstorm wave here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And it was a full moon. It was the blood beaver moon yesterday, yeah, as you may know. So I searched, does the full moon make rainstorm, like make a storm worse or crazier?
Mm. Interesting. What'd you find out?
Yeah.
It does?
Like, yeah. I was like, is that a crazy question? And then I was like, no, it's not a crazy question because a full moon affects tides. Tides are like 2 feet higher when it's a full moon. So if there's a rainstorm, it means it's more rain even.
More
for
flooding.
The tides.
But
the thing I learned that's even crazier is that the real reason the full moon's making shit weirder is because there's this thing with the wobble. Do you know about this? The moon is wobbling.
The Earth? Oh, really?
Okay. The moon is wobbling a little bit. And it's just, it's not climate change or anything. It's just a rando thing the moon is doing where it has this cycle for like 18 years or something where it just like wobbles a little bit. Mm. And when that happens, it just has a little fun. Just doing a little... Just listening to Bad Bunny.
The moon is being so random.
The moon is a silly goose. But when the moon wobbles, it does affect the tides and it makes like super storms, makes crazy shit happen because it makes it so that it's like the tides are either just very low or like super high. It's like it just makes it more extreme.
Mm.
Oh, damn. And
check it out. It's crazy.
And Rick Caruso wasn't using blood magic to summon that storm?
I mean, yeah, but like he was no match for the fucking moon magic.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We'll see. We still don't know on that one, right?
Developers will be conquered by space. They're going to try to build a mall in space and they're all going to get space madness and die.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right? Just like as he is doing the ribbon cutting for the first Cheesecake Factory, like off of Earth. And at that moment, like, yeah, it's all going to go wrong. I can see it right now.
It gives me like pleasure to think about. It's like their brains will just, you know, turn into sponges.
Yeah. I've been enjoying seeing like the tech people trying to take it to the next level with Elon Musk trying to like do Twitter and just proving how scary it would be to be on like a Mars colony where Elon Musk was in charge.
Right, like he shouldn't be in charge of anything.
Want to just kill half of any group of people that he's in charge of.
I was saying, well, I like destroyed Twitter for myself by tweeting. I did a tweet about how I made fun of Elon Musk and Drake at the same time. I believe I called them both, you know, loser dorks, and just like said, like no amount of money can make you like a good poster, can make you funny and cool if you're not.
Yeah.
And absolutely just like haven't been able, I quit Twitter after that because.
Yeah. Go out on top. Yeah.
I went out on top.
And then Zuckerberg and Meta, like I don't pay a lot of attention to financial results, but like the amount of money that he's losing on the Meta
thing is
truly staggering.
Please let all the Silicon Valley guys just like get, you know, run off the planet.
Yeah.
Not just out of town, but like literally run them off the earth on a spike. Run them off the flat earth. Kyrie was right. The earth is flat and that's why you can run billionaires off it.
Yeah.
They don't want us to know this.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what they're hiding.
I do feel like they're especially susceptible to a like moon or Mars colony. So we might just be able to get them all on the same Mars colony and fighting to the death, mismanaging the resources there to the death of all of them, basically. What is something you think is overrated?
Maybe. What about just a thought I'm having, the fabric cashmere?
Mm. Cashmere. Okay.
Go on.
I'm just, Anna told me you guys were talking about cashmere.
Oh, man. Yeah, she was. I mean,
I was trying to freak you out by being
I was like,
like I'm in your mind, Miles.
Yeah, I was like, but no, on a versus alpaca debate that happened.
Yeah, it was the cashmere alpaca debate because she asked me if I had thoughts on it, and I was like, I do, in fact. And she save them for tomorrow's pot.
Yeah, she's like, shit's so fucked. Should I get a nice sweater that feels good on my skin so at least that's I have truly a comfortable mortal said. Existence? And I was like, yeah, fuck you. Well, I mean, do what you got to do.
I do think cashmere is overrated. I think people think it's just the best because it costs the most.
Sure.
Like, it's fucking lovely, but it costs so much, you know?
Right.
It's inaccessible.
I feel like it doesn't bounce back very well either, right?
I mean, it's delicate. I think it's like also like real fabrics aren't going to wash and wear like a polyester bullshit, you know? Mm. But I don't really know about alpaca. Is alpaca soft?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I was just more I just told her, out of my mind, I was like, I don't know. I saw there was some cashmere versus alpaca to be. I don't know if that's interests you. She's like, what?
I was interested. I was totally interested. I mean, I think anytime I wear real fibers, I love to wear a wool sweater and my body just rejects it. My body is just this is an organ you've implanted on me and no.
Yeah, but Her Majesty is like that too. Like whenever she she knows immediately, it's like, oh no, this has something whatever in it. Cause immediately her skin's like, I'm sorry. This does not work.
Also,
I'm
fucking Irish and German. I assume my body was meant to wear the scratchiest wool sweaters on earth.
Full body wool underpants.
But also because I'm Irish and German, my skin is completely just sensitive to anything. I just put, anytime I put on a wool sweater, I just break out in hives.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my answer.
Done. Which side are we choosing? I'm addicted to choosing sides after the election season. So,
Alpaca.
Alpaca. Cool.
Alpaca. Yeah.
What's something you think is underrated?
I don't know. I had a nice apple today. I was like, when's the last time you fucking ate an apple?
Right.
Yeah. Apples are great.
Bit right into it.
I'm an applejack. I love me some apples. That cereal was named after me.
That's a really good cereal.
Yeah. It's very sweet. Just so much sugar.
I like how their tagline for that cereal was, it doesn't taste like apples. It doesn't taste like the thing it's named for that you would assume it tastes like. It tastes like a third thing.
I think apples have the highest ratio of the actual thing is much better than anything that's flavored after it. Any of the synthetic flavors for apple just aren't as good as just a nice crispy,
sweet
apple.
Sometimes you're just at the farmer's market and you're like, oh, fuck, what's in season? Apples?
Yeah.
You refrigerate your apples?
I don't.
No.
You ever like to eat a cold apple?
I do sometimes. I have been known to enjoy that.
That's demonic energy, putting a fresh apple
I'm a demon. I eat soft fries and fucking ice cold apples.
Yeah, what's up with these soft fries?
I fucking love them.
What does that mean?
Just when you get when you get a fry and then you get that one loose one that's just like.
Oh, the one that's too oily?
Yeah.
That's what you like?
Yeah.
That's weird, Miles.
Yeah. My doctor says I have some problems, but whatever.
It's not just the too oily.
The whole thing about fries is that they're crispy.
And Miles likes a whole batch that is soft. He likes In-N-Out fries.
That's spaghetti, man.
I told you, I go a step further. I ask them to fuck them up harder.
Rare. You ask for the medium rare.
Where? Blue. In-N-Out?
Blue fries.
In-N-Out, yeah.
Yeah. I said make
them blue. In-N-Out, the fries are kind of garbage anyway.
I know, for sure.
That is the rational take. But
allowed
Miles
to say this because we're from Los Angeles.
The only way I lean into them is to go softer. Yeah. I like a softer, floppy fry. That's why I said, I went to Seattle and I keep bringing this up. Dick's in Seattle had the best, meat, in between where, the edges were crispy, but also a little bit soft. I don't like eating,
soft dicks.
Crunchy ass.
Do you like a steak fry?
A big boy? A little too massive.
Soft
little
inside?
Little too massive.
Yeah, well, you might as well give me a baked potato at that point.
You know, I had actually some really good potato pancakes at the Red Lion the other day. You ever get the potato pancakes there?
No.
Oh, they're fucking so... You might like them as a connoisseur of soft fries. Because they're just they're like a pupusa almost. They're like They're not like a potato pancake, like a Jewish potato pancake that's like a big hash brown, grated.
These
are truly like a blob of mashed potatoes that's been like deep fried and then like smushed.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
See?
You got to try it.
See?
See?
Can I ask you one more question? Because now this is my show.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Do you like shoestring fries?
Yeah. I like
shoestring. What about shoestring onions?
Oh, onion strings?
Yeah.
Yeah, I fuck with an onion string.
I think those are fucking super underrated.
Yeah, all very crispy.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily. You get the softy boys in there. The softy brothers.
Yeah.
Softy brothers. A couple of softy brothers in your onion strings.
Uncut fries.
I was picturing the ones that like come in a can that are.
No.
Okay.
We're at an establishment. We're talking about like a Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah. Almost. Oh, you mean like those like French's onion strings? Like they use like a casserole
topping? Yeah, I was talking French's.
Yeah.
I'm cultured, so I fuck with French's. I'm a Francophile. Does anybody prefer a soft apple over a crisp apple? Like that's a question because.
That's sicko shit.
That is sicko. Like, but apples persist. Like, there are plenty of apple strains that go pretty mushy and stay on store shelves. And I'm just wondering, is that even an opinion that people have, or is it just a categorical failure of the apple industry?
Part of the fun of eating real food, eating real fruit, is that you're
got
playing
a bad one. Yeah.
Yeah. You're playing apple roulette every time.
Yeah.
Will you get the bad apple in the chamber?
Right.
The most delicious apple.
Mm.
I do want to hear from any listeners. If you are a mushy apple person, don't just take the opinion, but like really, if there is a mushy apple that you fuck with, like I feel like Red Delicious tend to be on the mushier side. If you're like Red Delicious is actually the best apple, let me know because I am confused about the persistence of the Red Delicious and some of the other kind of mushier types of apple. All right. Well, now that we got the important stuff out of the way, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about election results and how different parts of the country are taking them.
Mm-hmm. I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And yeah, I mean, it's a guilty pleasure, but I think it's something that a lot of us do. When, you know, during the Trump administration, when he would fuck up big time, or, you know, when a good thing would happen for Democrats, I like to just pop over to Fox News, watch the cognitive dissonance happening in real time. So we had a clip on, I think, yesterday's episode where Jesse Waters was like,
it's going to be a red wave.
This is guaranteed. Everybody can just relax because Biden's approval rating is here. And historically, every single time, you know, 2 years after the presidential election, the winner of that election's party gets owned. So get ready. It's not a question of if, it's a question of how massive and destructive the tsunami will
be. Dude, it doesn't even matter if we're going all out on forced birth, like taking away Medicaid, fucking up our quote unquote democracy, because Biden, it's a midterm and Biden's approvals are low and inflation. So I think we're good. Yeah, the confidence was wild. Like, I'll play this one from old Steve Doocy on Fox and Friends. This was about last Thursday when he first, this is a juxtaposition of him talking about the election going from last Thursday, and then it immediately smashes into Wednesday morning what is actually happening.
The Democrats probably should say, you know what? We put too much emphasis on abortion and the threat to democracy and not enough emphasis on kitchen table stuff. Abortion and democracy were the two of the biggest issues with voters.
Tim, this morning.
The first one, he has just the most shit-eating grin, like trying to stop himself from breaking into an ear-to-ear smile.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, these guys are fucked.
Here's another one.
Yeah.
Despite that, this one is the one in which this guy's like, oh, yeah, we got smashed. But the Dobbs decision, though, folks, come on now.
I'm so happy with the Dobbs decision. If we don't have a great red wave midterm and it was the abortion issue, the Dobbs decision, we will take that every day of the week. So still a win for pro-lifers.
What? Okay. That's another weird, don't worry, it's all good. Where's this one? Oh, here's another one. Speaking of like abortion, this was just, my goodness. Like, just on Fox this morning, them trying to figure out what's going on. This is the distillation from Fox News about like why the Republicans lost. And listen closely, exactly why.
You have the best example. Michigan, unbelievable. State House flips, state Senate flips. 6 months ago, you would have written Whitmer off pre-Dobbs. She wins handily. In five states had abortion referendums, including my home state of Montana. All of them passed. I mean, this abortion is becoming the issue that's driving turnout. Last night, exit polls, you guys talked about it earlier. Democrats win independents in a non-presidential year. Just no poll saw that coming. And it was because these women just went crazy.
Okay, like, I'm sorry, what?
These women went
He
crazy.
Said the girls went wild. The girls have gone wild.
Yeah.
I mean, like, shout out to, you know, Jim Messina, former Obama chief of staff there. But, like,
that's who that was?
Yeah. Just giving his punditry. He's like, you know, and they just went crazy out there.
These women went crazy.
That's how they responded. Sure. That's another one. And then this one was just truly just funny because they're trying to figure out like what happened with the Dr. Oz Fetterman race where John Fetterman won, Dr. Oz lost. Pretty and I just like this really great soundbite on Fox and Friends too of just trying to figure out what happened there.
With voters, when it comes to the state of Pennsylvania, why did Dr. Oz lose? Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like, according to the exit polling, it's because Fetterman won.
Damn. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yo, the analysis. Let me just hear the rest of that clip. Every time I heard it, I just stopped and paused and started laughing every time I fucking heard that. This is the rest of that.
It's because Fetterman won.
Okay.
Fetterman got 57% of the independents. Fetterman got 67% of the Hispanics. He got 50.
Oh, so now he's just talking about how there's literally 50% plus one majorities in all these groups.
Wow.
Like literally describing what an election victory is.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like there are more votes.
I feel like television news punditry has never been less relevant than it is now, right? Like,
yeah.
Nobody needs that shit anymore with the internet. Nobody, except a certain people of a certain age who do still watch cable news.
And who need to be told, like, hey, dude, what you're feeling is, like, accurate. You know,
I saw a post yesterday, too, about, like, I think it was the 50s, about the first ever televised election results, which I thought was really interesting.
Right.
Just about, like, how we created this format of how we see things. But the night before, too, when the Powerball thing went left...
Mm-hmm.
Were you guys watching that? Did you buy lottery tickets?
No, but I was not.
Oh, it was just incredible because it was like I was watching a local news broadcast from like Florida. Uh-huh. So I was just like, where can I see them draw the Powerball? And then they were just waiting for the results. And then they were just like, something's happened. That's like, it's fucked up. And then these two just like local news anchors, I just watched them vamp for like so long, you know?
Right.
Like, at first they're like, okay, well, like, we're just going to talk a little bit about the Powerball while we wait for them to get the Powerball numbers. And then you just like see it dawn on them that like the Powerball numbers just like aren't coming tonight, you know?
Right.
And I was just like, wow, these people are great broadcasters.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's the whole thing.
Wait, is that why it's podcasters? Because it's like a broadcaster?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a play on iPod and broadcast.
Yeah. It was because of the iPod, right? That we got the podcast even as a
I hate that. I hate that because they don't even have iPods anymore.
Yeah. Fuck it. This is called pirate radio.
That's right.
You know? Brought to you by your smartphone. But I mean, I think this is the thing with like all coverage in general was just so fucking all over the place going into this, right? Like we were spending the day before being like, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. Like,
well, that's what pollsters were spending the day saying. People who do polls, whose entire job is this, which they have a very hard job because nobody talks to them anymore. But that is still news is them being like, we don't know.
Right. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, at first people were truly like, we're looking at spiking registration numbers. You know, for Democrats, huge turnouts in like these special elections around abortion access. And thought like, oh, wow, maybe discarding human rights isn't a good electoral play. And like that made Democrats real lazy on the messaging. And then they're just like, all right, let's go to the hey, at least we're not them playbook. And that's what they were running for the last couple months. Then the polls are starting to shift, quote unquote, in like places like Pennsylvania or Nevada, North Carolina, fucking everywhere. And anything that seemed competitive or lean Dem was starting to look like a 6-point blowout for the GOP. Then like places like CNN and MSNBC hopped on the like, is Fetterman actually died train and piled on to like the there's the red wave nonsense. And oh, so it's just like it's just so weird, again, how like that whole class or that whole industry is like so like they are so like of the same mind, just different versions of it. Because everyone was sort of bracing themselves.
Well, they're always looking for a narrative. And then once they like manufacture the narrative, they all are like, this is what's happening. The red wave is happening. And you see, and I think it's just like, as a viewer, you've had the football pulled away from you so many times with this thing now. Why would you ever trust that they know what they're talking about? You know, like nobody has that gravity of like, oh, I trust this Walter Cronkite figure to tell me what's happening in America. I just feel like it's like, you know, if you watch the Hillary Trump coverage and everybody was like, well, she's got it in the bag. No problem. You know, and then you watch what happened. But also like in the W election, like I just remember watching the news media kind of manufacture consent for W and be like, wow, he's so folksy. Everybody loves him.
Right.
While you're watching the debates and being like, he's a fucking idiot, right? Like, Are we watching the same thing? Like, he's a dumbass. And
yeah,
Al Gore's boring, but he wants to fucking fix the environment or whatever, you know, and being like, wow, this cowboy sharpshooting Billy over here, you know, can't fight with that.
I want to have a beer with that coke addict, though.
What? Former coke addict.
I'm sorry, allegedly former.
Former beer.
Yeah, former beer.
But yeah, I think it's just like you have to watch it like entertainment rather than science.
Well, I think right, and so many. And that's what I think is so confusing for people who would just look at the news, like read the New York Times headline was something really fucking weird. I forget what it was.
Well, New York Times is a fucking right wing paper.
Yeah, I mean, like, but for people who still like they're not like able to really analyze their media diet and understand like what forces are at play in the coverage that they're like reading, where like, you know, like talking about the New York Times and how much they're like, you know, we talk about all the work Alec Caracatsanis does talking about, oh yeah, their only fucking source for these crime wave stories are the fucking police. Like that's just bad journalism straight up.
Well, that's all newspapers just print police reports as though they're like telling the
truth. And local news for sure.
Yeah,
and
I think which is a lot of what Heidi World, check it out. Goes into a lot
Ye
of that.
Old Heidi World. Months old.
Months old Heidi
wonderful.
World.
Wonderful. It's managed to still be relevant months after it came out, guys.
I was thinking about it the other day because there was this big story came out about Les Moonves from CBS working with the LAPD to cover up his sexual assault. Yeah. And it's just like, man, the LAPD are always... You're like, who's the villain here? Who's the creep? Oh, it's the LAPD.
And that cop who tipped off Moonves, Chris Pratt's dad. Okay, full circle. No, I'm joking.
I was totally just ready to believe that.
I know, everyone be like, wait, what? No,
but like Chris Pratt's going to play him in a movie about how he's a heroic officer protecting powerful men from consequences.
Yeah.
But you know, like right now, we don't know where... like the majorities are lying at this point in terms of the House or Senate. But like, I'm sure like the Democrats feel like they did a good job. Like, hey, all those weirdos we propped up, they fucking like lost. Okay. Right. So like we were able to skate through without really committing to anything. But it's just a little wild when you're like, you know, they won by merely getting enough people in touch with the existential threats that they aren't willing to address.
I think that's young people turned out. That was the whole thing, right? Was that Gen Z was like, bro, we gotta have abortions.
Right. They're like, oh shit. And that was all it. They're like, get them in touch with the get them in touch with the existential threats we are unwilling to address. Because what are y'all like, what happened to codifying anything?
Yeah, I think people know that the earth is on fire and that if we don't fix it. I think I just was surprised because I'm like, everything's so rigged, there's nothing you can even do about it, you know? Right.
Sure.
I just when you watch the cycles of this stuff, it gets really hard to have like a ray of hope about anything.
Yeah. This did go against the, you know, previous historical trend.
And this might just be my core, like half Jewish, half Irish Catholic temperament is to just like assume the worst possible thing is going to happen.
Right.
And then if it doesn't, be like, for now.
Right.
Yeah.
You win today, Earth.
You know?
It does seem like, I mean, one of the big things that was supposedly driving the red wave that never happened was this idea that crime was out of control and that Republicans were going to come through and, you know, capitalize on that.
But I mean, that wasn't just Republicans. That's like the LA mayoral race and all these crazy endorsements yesterday from celebrities who, you know, everybody's like, why would like Snoop Dogg and Katy Perry endorse Rick Caruso? It's like, he clearly paid a PR firm like a billion, you know, he clearly paid them.
Yeah.
Because
they're also millionaires. And
that he just paid them and they are endorsing him because he paid them.
Right.
But yeah, like there is this, you know, upper class sentiment in Los Angeles of like, you know, people hating the homeless and people above a certain tax bracket being like, well, we can't have that on my street of the house that I own because property values.
Which is wild, too, because for all the Chris Pratts and Katy Perrys, they're like, I've seen firsthand what's happening. You're from Santa Barbara, fool. Get the fuck out of here. And Chris Pratt, you're not from here either. So what the fuck do you know? And plus, by the time you got here, I don't think you were living in neighborhoods that had unhoused people.
I so also like I watched this documentary yesterday about, or a couple days ago, about the Automat in New York, the like cafeteria, old timey cafeteria.
Mm-hmm. Like with the little windows, you could pull out the like your like ready made meals.
And it's about that. And it's just old, like old celebrities being like, you could go and get coffee for a nickel. And then it takes this insane twist in the middle where it's like, and then they tried to unionize and we busted the union. And then mysteriously the Automats declined. And it was because all of a sudden, like homeless people could hang out there in Midtown. And so they became a horrible place to go because of all the homeless people. It was crazy. I was truly like mad at this documentary because it was very like seemed innocuous and then ended up blaming the homeless for the decline of public space. And I was like, you mean Ronald Reagan, bro?
No, yeah. I had some of the best financial years of my career under the Reagan administration. I will not bite the hand that feeds using sentiment from those people.
Well, you are the wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, it's too early to say, like, to pull too much detailed like messaging out of this. But like, there does seem to be, you know, we were talking about it. It felt like there was extra wind behind anyone who could position themselves as being outside of the like business as usual political mainstream. I think.
Well, I think the left obviously like has a little bit of that like the mainstream Democrats don't really want to engage with, and they're always trying to be like it's you know, these radical positions are the reason that, like, you know, we're losing, it's because of, you know, leftists. And then it just becomes increasingly clear that the leftist positions, the basic freedoms and basic quality of life shit, is really important to people. And you know, we absolutely need like a New Deal type thing that reestablishes, you know, some kind of safety net for people in this country, which again is like the fucking reason we have a homeless problem, you know, nationwide, is because there are no safety nets for people in America. And this bootstrapping shit we've been doing since the 80s clearly doesn't work.
People have stopped buying that.
I hope so, because I also just think it's like everybody's fucking broke. Yeah. And so even people that like make a good living, it's like cost of living is so high. Mm. Rent is so fucking high, and like no one can afford to buy a house. So people are seeing just like, you know, concrete, like this sucks. Everything, the rent is too damn high.
Yeah.
And they want other stuff.
The way Republicans stepped outside of the mainstream seemed to be to, in a lot of cases, focus on like the QAnon mega.
Well, the Republicans did like the fascist, when things are going really bad, the fascists say it's because of, you know, whatever minority is doing it to you. And obviously there's been a lot of fucking anti-Semitism coming back, which is like classic in like times of turmoil. That's why anti-Semitism got so popular in Germany after the wars, because everybody was in Germany had like lost their shit in World War One, and Germany was doing really bad, and everybody was like, whose fault is it? It can't be the fault of, like, you know, international fucking markets. It must be the Jew, the wandering Jew who's, you know, traveling from land to land, creating chaos. So I think I'm just cynical. I was just like, wow, everyone's really going to go for that. You know, everyone's going to, we're just going to slide deeper and deeper into fascism forever. But I do also feel like I see in real life that like people are energized and organizing locally because things are so bad and they want to like do something, and they know that government is kind of useless.
Yeah, I think that was the one thing that I was surprised by, how like, I think we knew this at a certain point. We were like, man, people don't really seem to like want to keep talking about like some conspiracy theory around the 2020 election, because like that doesn't really affect their lives and like the things that are impacting them on a day-to-day basis. And the
I think it's also like those people lose interest if you're like the type of person who's attracted to every like shiny new conspiracy theory bauble, and you're following a trail of breadcrumbs or whatever, and then nothing ever comes of it. Like, you're gonna get bored eventually. They have to have some kind of like reward for following this, you know, insane.
Yeah, there's just everybody's just at this like really high up level where clearly the disconnectedness of, you know, people that are at the heights of our news and our media and things like that are like everyone at the same time is like, yo, the status quo ain't working. Like they're trying to bang on a fucking broken TV and they're like, what the fuck?
It's not like everybody on anymore. TV is like a private jet.
But the issue like there is just sort of that there's because of this, like because of them trying to uphold this just obviously broken pattern of governance at the same time, it's shedding people like and people are starting to understand that, man, a lot of the shit that they're offering as solutions are not solutions. The things that they are saying problems are not actual problems that are affecting me in my day to day. So what the fuck is actually going to be different? And I think that's why so many people were just kind of like looking at the coverage and being like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess this is what it is. Like people aren't really connecting the dots with inflation or whatever. But it seemed like they were. Despite that, they're saying, yeah, inflation is bad. Rather, the corporate profiteering is bad at the moment that we're calling inflation. And I still rather, like, at the end of the day, the priorities are these other larger threats to me that I've identified rather than people normally saying, here's the playbook. Poll numbers are low. Just ring the inflation things, talk about the gas prices, and that'll bring all the...
Right. I mean, there's like that quote, I forget, maybe it's Upton Sinclair, where it's like, you know, everybody in America thinks they're a temporarily embarrassed millionaire. Right. And that's like also the promise of Trump is like, you know, you're going to be rich like me. We're all going to be businessmen. Right. And again, I think people are just so broke that I wouldn't be shocked if even people on the right, you know, are like, I'm not going to be rich, it turns out, you know?
Yeah.
And also, worse than that, I might be like too broke to live.
And be right. Actively harmed by the current like market led status quo where we just trust bankers to like invest and like make all decisions behind closed doors with like establishment
right.
Democrats and,
like,
and Republicans.
I think most people can see that they're closer to homelessness than they are to being a millionaire, you know,
right.
That.
Yeah.
If the arrow spins, you're more, you know, you have a much higher chance of falling into abject poverty. And just the way this country is set up is like a fucking shitty carnival game where it's like, yeah, I don't know. I think people, some of the things that, I don't know, maybe it's a little encouraging that some of the things that seemed like talking points that were like so far left, nobody could understand why you should just have free healthcare instead of having it tied to employment as they make employment like more and more hard to sustain, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are starting to feel like people are like, yeah, why is the government? We pay taxes. They should go to something that actually helps everybody.
Yeah. Right.
It does seem like there are clear lessons the Democrats should take away from this.
Oh, they
right?
are not like, gonna. Boy, are they ever gonna. They are gonna like, fumble it.
The thing that Fetterman had was seeming like he was outside and also like talking about solutions, like having like pretty standard talking points that he came back to. And
I think it's like he's such a, you know, they're gonna fuck it up, obviously. But it does seem like with Fetterman, there's this clear precedent now of like, get like a real fucking working class hero guy who doesn't look like a you know, groomed for TV politician.
Yeah. Him and Bill Belichick use the same stylist.
Right. So. I know, right? You're going to see like Nancy Pelosi come out and like cut off hoodie sleeves and shit.
And like AOC won again, you know, which is also like, she's also like, you know, obviously people become in the establishment once they get in, but it is just like, yeah, she has some qualities that make her non-traditional. And again, just get some fucking younger people in there. There was that thing about Chuck Grassley getting reelected and about how he's older than the recipe for chocolate chip cookies. Yeah.
That's crazy.
By 6 years.
6 years older than the invention of chocolate chip cookies.
Like in Los Angeles, just, I know this is a local story, but I do think it is very instructive. So, you know, the mayoral race still too close to call between billionaire Republican, you know, cosplaying as a Democrat, Rick Caruso, and Karen Bass, who is like very establishment Democrat credentials. And both of them are running behind Kenneth Mejia, who is a 31-year-old who, you know, worked in, he won for a city controller, which I'm not a political expert, but that sounds, controller sounds like a pretty,
it's about being an accountant position. And being like really transparent where like money goes. And that's a huge thing to have somebody with a, like a spine doing that. Cause typically you're just like turning.
Yeah. And he's somebody who's come out against the Olympics before, the 2028 LA Olympics that we are against. Cause he's been like, this is a huge waste of money. We have so many things that need money in Los Angeles. Why would we ever spend money on this?
But his whole like campaign was focused on, here is a graph. He had like these billboards all around the city that was like, here is a graph of how tax dollars are actually spent. And, you know, just showing people how drastically the police budget outpaces anything else. And just
he also
like,
had like meme type stuff. He had like this quirky, it was very like, it was kind of like youth oriented.
Oh, yeah.
But just focusing on solutions to the problems that people actually have in their lives seems like it should be a very clean, clear takeaway for the Democratic Party from this election.
I mean, I think it's also like people voted against the cops, which is like,
yes,
clearly a thing the Democrats are never thinking about. But that did feel also a little bit like, the world has changed, man.
Yeah.
Like, we are in an era similar to the backlash to the Vietnam War, where people are like, hey, wait a minute. We want our money spent on things that, you know, matter to us and aren't just to, like, increase the imperialist war machine's coffers in a way that helps nobody in America.
All we are saying is give ACAB a chance.
I feel like the Republicans have a pretty clear like message to take away that it's like, if you just double down on, you know, being white supremacist, anti-woke, like use that as your messaging to be outside the mainstream, like that worked for like DeSantis and Kemp and people like that. And I feel like the Republicans will learn that message, you know, as opposed to focusing on QAnon and MAGA and, you know, shit that people don't actually care about.
You know, some people vote, like some states went anti-abortion, like it was not.
Yeah, states were also, you know, like I think, was it Louisiana where they're like, we fuck with slavery technically. So we'll vote for that.
There was a slavery ballot on a, it was like we officially outlaw slavery. People were surprised by that. I don't know why. If you read a little history book, it's like.
Did you see the 13th? All right, maybe not. But like, I think just again with Republicans, Jack, like you're saying, like the lesson for the, if there is a, you're starting to see like the New York Post, Fox, fucking OAN, they're all going like, they're all making goo-goo eyes at DeSantis now.
Right.
So I don't know if they're now, because you hear a lot of people say, well, you know, we had to run with these MAGA candidates, even though the RNC didn't want them, or like, you know, Grim Reaper, McConnell didn't want them. And we went with these. And then that's why we completely fucked it up. And I think they're starting to, again, pretend like maybe they can divorce themselves from Trump. But I think that's the other thing that's going to be really interesting, is because the midterms performance was so poor, so much of the good news that you see on conservative news, like the day after the election, is all focusing on like how well DeSantis did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, totally. I also think the Dr.
Does that
Oz,
change the 2024 picture.
The Dr. Oz Fetterman race is kind of like an interesting blowback to Trump, because it's like, wait, somebody can't just win because they're on television, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I think Trump kind of like created this idea of like, people will just vote for anyone who's famous.
Yeah.
Because they're so stupid.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not true. Be great and if it's not true.
The Republicans are still probably going to control the House because of gerrymandering. And like, there's a lot of, you know, very clear failures for the Democratic Party to grapple with, and some very clear lessons for them to learn. And we've seen in the past.
And they're going to play the Benny Hill music and fall down 100 times.
Just crazy willing to ignore the shit out of the anything.
No, they're
going to
roller skate on a bunch of banana peels before they learn one thing from this.
But, all right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about how we all want VR headsets that can kill us.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And yeah, you know, so there was this kind of fake headline that was being picked up by all the trusted journalistic institutions, the New York Post, Men's Health, KTLA, so local news. But the headline was Oculus founder creates a VR headset that kills you if you die in the game. The man behind Oculus Rift has designed a VR headset that can kill you. And
if you die in this VR game, it will kill you in real life.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Paving the way for a future in which people mourn the loss of a loved one who tragically died after skidding on a banana peel dropped by Luigi, to, you know, refer back.
Oh,
to,
no.
Oh, yeah. No. This, it's interesting that it's just mainstream media malpractice, because that's not actually what it.
I mean,
it leads you towards a
pretty much any, like, all the VR stuff, it's always fake.
Yeah.
They're always like, you're going to fuck a woman through the computer. And it's like, I don't think they have that yet.
Yeah. It's yet. I think that the headline was meant to evoke the Matrix, where if you die in the Matrix, the virtual reality is so perfect, such a perfect simulation that your brain doesn't know the difference and you basically just die psychosomatically.
They literally always say this, and then you try Oculus Rift and you're like, this is Game Boy 3D. Like,
yeah,
you haven't improved this technology at all.
Yeah.
You're wearing a big dumb thing on your head and you're never not aware of that.
It was actually called Virtual Boy.
Virtual Boy. It gives you a headache.
I remember, yeah, that thing was the worst. That was probably the worst, like, actual. It just failed to deliver on every.
My friend Dan
level.
Had one, and I played it. It was like, it truly gives you such a headache. And it is right. like, yeah, it's just emblematic of the promise versus the reality of virtual reality, which is that, guess what? Real reality kicks dicks. Why would you ever need virtual reality?
Yeah, real reality will actually kill you, motherfucker.
Don't put a murder
helmet on.
Go outside.
So there's been other VR designers who've actually like used this storyline to hype the power of their product. Like there was this guy, I'm just going to read a quote. "We're very close to having the first death in VR. Pause for the crowd to go wild. When the commercial version comes out, something is going to scare somebody to death. Somebody with a heart condition or something like that. It is going to happen. Absolutely."
Somebody with a heart condition or something like
something
that,
like that.
Shouldn't be using the product, probably.
Right. So that's...
It's like horror movie advertising.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's like, you might die from this haunted house.
So the person, the thing that drove the headline, though, this recent Oculus headline, is that he basically, like the guy who created Oculus Rift, what's his name? Like Lucky something?
Lucky Little Palmer.
Palmer Lucky.
Jesus,
that's Christ.
Lucky Palmer.
So I think he recognized that this was a talking point that people were like hungry for. So right. what he did was create a single headset that had three explosive charges attached to it and would blow up your head if you died as like a proof of concept, I guess.
Oh, okay. He invented a saw trap to prove it?
Yeah. He's like, he said that he, like, the screen flashes red at a specific frequency. So that suggests that like that somehow kills you. And he's like, and then that causes the thing to explode your fucking head.
Like,
I'm pretty sure
on,
the people
gang.
Who strapped a bomb on the neck of that pizza delivery driver had also figured out this technology.
That's exactly what it made me think of, too. Yeah. Oh, that's so fucked up. There's a Black Mirror where that happens, obviously.
Right.
But, like, I don't understand, like, is that people's dream to die playing a video game? Like, I know we're all doing the death drive a little bit with this stuff, but, like...
No.
Really want to die.
Nah, that's, I don't think you want to. I mean, look, like I said, you're playing a game of chance with your life every day by merely existing. So like,
have you ever seen that thing about the roller coaster that kills you that someone designed? The suicide
Goliath.
Roller coaster?
No.
Oh my God.
Didn't Goliath at Magic Mountain kill like two people? With
I mean, sometimes roller coasters kill people, but you know, like, people who talk about roller coasters say the whole thing is that like the excitement is that you might die and you don't, right? It's like you all, you know, you're like,
oh, you're brought to the edge of your seat, sort of.
You're flirting with death a little bit. You're just like feelings. You're like, why would you invent a roller coaster? It's such an insane thing to invent. But somebody designed one. You should look it up. It's scary. It's a roller coaster where it's like loops and the loops get smaller and smaller and eventually it would like make you have a brain aneurysm or something and die.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
It would like deprive oxygen to your brain or something.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that scary?
Euthanasia coaster?
I think the thing that people are hoping for is something that experientially is like so scary that it kills you. And then there are all these engineers and... Like, by the way, the guy who, like, created Oculus Rift, Lucky, whatever, Lucky Palmer, which
Palmer
I can't
Lucky.
Believe that's a human's name that is, like, trying
probably
to end civilization.
Probably a fucking stage name.
But probably he went on to, like, work for a defense company. Like, he gets millions and millions of dollars from the government to create, like, underwater drones and shit.
Okay, so this
just,
man
like,
literally builds
things.
Fucking death machines, is what you're saying. He does... That's what I mean is like some of this stuff, like when you tell me the thing about the device that blows up your head. Yeah. You're like, well, where does this lead? It leads to like, you know, somewhere bad.
It's like it's a bored engineer at Raytheon's like, dude, what if I made a thing that killed the operator rather than the other way?
Right.
Here's this is a pretty metal idea.
Okay. What if I just had hired someone to shoot me in the head if I fucked up at Tetris?
I mean, you see that, like, it's like the people who admire, like, Nazi on ingenuity, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
oh,
well, they made the best death machines. It's like,
and?
Yeah, that fucking sucks.
But they were
didn't make them. Fucking American companies made them. That's what's so fucked up. It's like that all, you know, IBM and people were the people who made all the things.
Right.
And the headlines that this post generated made it seem like the VR murder game was going to be shipped out in time for Christmas. But it's really,
that's what I mean. It's like if there was money in
office art,
money in murdering people, like, of course, every tech guy on Earth will be into it, you know?
Right.
They love that. That's the blue sky challenge they love the most. Just like, what's the most efficient way to like murder somebody with a VR machine?
Right. Can we do it with the loading screen? Will that be scary enough?
I feel like they're still buying into the Malthusian thing of like, there's too many people. Let's lower the population.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like the eco-fascist stuff is the real right-wing stuff that's terrifying because they for sure think that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're saying stuff. I love that there's a real big take now. It's like Gen Z's ruining this country at the ballot box. So I can't wait to see what kind of fucking weird nonsense we see aimed at young people.
Well, Molly Lambert, always a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Wow. Thanks for having me. Well, I am off Twitter for the time being and maybe forever because I, as mentioned earlier, I blew up my own Twitter with a VR helmet that exploded. I did actually engineer a machine to blow up my Twitter.
Twitter death.
Which was a tweet about Drake and Elon Musk being dorks. So you can find me right now on Instagram at Molly_Lambert. And you can find 10 plus hours of me at Heidi World, The Heidi Fleiss Story and the Secret History of L.A. Now playing on all podcast platforms.
Yeah, yeah.
From iHeartRadio featuring Jack and Miles.
Oh, did I make the cut?
A little bit.
Amazing.
Yeah, man. You're Jesse Fleiss.
My performance was so
Miles is James Caan, famous. Yeah. Now deceased actor James Caan.
Yeah. That's
And that did happen after Miles played him. Like, Miles put the performance in and he was like, my persona is in good hands. I can shuffle off.
Absolutely. I'll be playing Henry Kissinger in upcoming other.
Oh, you don't even know. You might be right. Right. Get ready for phase two.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying, Molly?
I mean, I think I mentioned it earlier, but the finding out that a senator was older than chocolate chip cookies really
there it is.
Really made me laugh. Also, I reached the end of Twitter because I met Drill in real life.
Oh, my
God. At D-R-I-L?
D-R-I-L. I met Drill, the man, the myth, the legend.
Wow. What was that like?
And just like the Wizard of Oz, he was literally just some guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Never meet your Twitter heroes, folks.
In a cape behind a giant screen, though, right?
No, I mean, he's really nice. He's really nice. Yeah, he's nice. Very nice in real life. It's just pretty amazing because I was like, wow, Elon Musk has so much money, so much power, and all he wants is to be this guy who's just naturally really funny, good at posting.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Some tweets that I like. Oh, first of all, you can find, obviously, Jack and I on our basketball podcast. New episode of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties just dropped today. So check that out. Also, check me and Sophia Alexander out on 420 Day Fiancé. But I think in the coming weeks, I will have guest host Lydia Popovich on to talk about 90 Day Fiancé. So check all that out. Some tweets that I like. I just, I honestly really wasn't looking much at Twitter except for some of these. This is interesting. At BB. Sita, S-I-I-T-A-H, said, why are you as an adult using a third-party app to track who unfollows you?
Mm.
And I am absolutely like, first you'd be like, I noticed so-and-so unfollowed me. I'm like, are we in sixth grade? Like, free yourself from keeping score like that. That is fucking self-destruction in an app.
Mm. Some tweets I enjoyed. Senator Lemon Gogert tweeted, oh, is there a vote ball happening during the vote? Because, that resonated with me as a sports sometimes sports fan, Ashton Batuso tweeted, congrats on your I voted sticker. I bet the sea turtles love them. I had my polling place brand me with hot iron because I actually care about the environment. And yeah.
Oh, I got one more. I forgot. Yeah. I buried all of the fun tweets that I had. Another one is from @2thickscoops that said, TikTok is full of the most helpless people in the entire world. You could post a recipe for pepperoni pizza and the comments would be full of people shaking in their boots saying, can I put sausage on it instead? No, you can't. You will die.
You can find me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
This is a track from Sonzeira, S-O-N-Z-E-I-R-A, DJ who like mashes up a ton of really dope Brazilian music. This track is called O Baixo do Cassino. Okay, so it's O, then the next word is B-A-I-X-O, then D-O space K-A-S-S-I-N. And it's like this really, it's like dub, but like sample based with a lot of Brazilian music. It's just like a really interesting like tapestry of Brazilian sounds and styles all thrown together to give you this new sound. So check this out. I won't say the name again because I probably mispronounced it. Or you can rewind it. I'll say it one more time. O Baixo do Cassino.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning.
Yeah.
Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.